Let's do this.
I guess. I'm going to sit here and take it tonight.
Everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, a podcast where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and are a place to talk about uplifting experiences we have had. I am Kingsley, and with me, we have Sin. How are you tonight, Sin?
Magical tonight.
Ooh, good, good. Magical and ready to
rumble
some Destiny.
As always.
Ready to rumble. That's a good saying too.
Let's get ready to rumble. I probably don't have the same voice as that dude that does it. So
I don't even want to attempt it. I think it's great when some people will podcast and try to do voices or sing a song. I'm like, ooh, the pressure. Should I try that?
Me, probably not.
we should have an episode was just that outtakes, and we can do that. But anyways,
we need about 30 under our belt.
I know, right? What have you done this week in the game, Sin? I don't have anything to talk about, so.
I think our biggest topic this week was the raid. That was my first time doing a prestige raid. We cleared Eater World's prestige, and it's very interesting having to run two auto rifles and then a heavy, and the cycling of the ammo was pretty unique since I've never done either of the layers before or tried prestige in either of the layers. You have to get in a rhythm of cycling your ammo because there are no ammo drops. You're just relying on the cycling of the ammo and each weapon each time. So you start with your kinetic, then your secondary, then your heavy. And you just keep rotating through. But it was interesting, and it didn't take us that long to get the rhythm down and cleared it. So yeah, that was exciting.
It's interesting for sure. It's different where I know I've passed Prestige Eater Worlds once before, and I'm trying to remember what modifiers were because I know they change. But nonetheless, when you're so used to doing a raid on normal and even hard mode, typically it's like the hard mode raids have had stronger enemies and maybe a couple other mechanics, but never quite something where you have like these quote locked loadouts or these restricted loadouts, and never quite something with the ammo where, yeah, it's good. It has pluses and minuses. I would still say I found it pretty annoying because ammo was never really a problem for me in the normal mode, and I could just run my void auto rifle exactly when I wanted to get the Minotaurs down, and then my other weapon exactly when I wanted to work on the other adds, and then have my heavy ammo ready to go for damage on the boss exactly when I wanted. But with this, it's like, ooh, one more thing you have to think about where you're sometimes you want to like just empty a clip ahead of time so you just be prepped. And I don't know about you, Sin, but like for me, at least a fourth of the or third of the time, I didn't quite have my heavy exactly how I wanted it staged for the boss. So I was like, oh, am I doing enough DPS, right? You know, you kind of have to worry about that when you get to the boss part.
Right. The biggest thing with that is it was an open heavy, so you could use Whisper. And it did proc White Nail, I think is the perk. So if you got all three shots on him, it was reloading. So that was pretty nice to have that feature there. I mean, for me, like you said, never really an ammo issue during the normal version. This is just the rhythm of it, getting it down and trying to figure out how to get the ammo to rotate in your favor. But yeah. One thing with these prestige raids is you have the chance for a catalyst to drop. The Eater Worlds featured one is Telesto. I didn't get it to drop, but I know somebody did.
Yeah, I know. Someone in our group did. I forget who it was, though, so You know, maybe we'll get it next time. No, I got it. I know. Don't be coy.
Don't be coy.
It's cool. I mean, the funny thing is like, I almost feel bad. I would have almost preferred someone else get it. I'm happy to get it. And, but it wasn't probably the main reason I was running the raid. It was probably like a third of the reason why I was running the raid. The other 2/3 was just to run it because I hadn't done prestige for a long time. But it was cool. I got the Telesto Catalyst, and I haven't even run the Telesto that much. I did a little bit back in the day, but boy, I haven't brought it out forever. The interesting thing about the Catalyst is all you do is talk to Brother Vance, and then he gives you this little yellow exotic quest. And the only thing you have to do is just go to the forge, and then it's masterworked.
Really? So you have it masterworked already?
I do. Yeah. Maybe you'd hopped off, or you already went offline.
Oh yeah.
I was still on with
3 a.m.
guys. Yeah, I know. It was a late night. But I was on with some of the other guys still, and it wasn't totally obvious on telling you what to do, or maybe just because I hadn't forged a weapon for a long time. I had even forgotten that there was the forge. That's how absurd it was for me. Like, I forgot that once you do the weapons, you have to walk over to that other little round table that has like the arc beam coming out of it. That's the actual forge, you know? So anyways, I had to go over there and hit the square button, and then it turned masterwork.
Well, that sounds super easy.
I know, right? I guess they figure you already went through the pain of getting it in the raid. So I had it masterworked. I'm like, okay, let's try this out. You know, I just tried it on Mercury first. And by the way, so what the masterwork does is it increases it from like 4 to 7 in the clip. So, you know, it's a lot more useful. You can get more shots out of it. Nothing too crazy, but enough to make it a little more worth it to use. So I brought it into a couple strikes, and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, I'm actually kind of peppering the ground where the ads are, or peppering some yellow bars, and it still seems pretty potent. You know, maybe not as good as Yotun or Lord of Wolves, but fair amount of ammo, 7 in the clip. I forget what the thing is. And I was having some fun with it. So I think I'll just, the fact that I have it, I owe it to trying it out a few more times to see how I like it.
Well, that makes me want to run it again, you know, whenever that time comes around, just to get it. I'd like to be a little bit more of a collector in that aspect, to have more of the catalysts. I did fail during it's been a while since we've had in faction rallies, because I never got any of the catalysts from the faction rallies, not even the void pulse rifle. I always forget its name.
Well, geez, I guess I'm not going to be much help either. The void pulse rifle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the 2-burst one.
Yes. Yeah.
You really got to make
the little explosions.
Yes.
My son uses that one a lot, and it was pretty cool. I didn't get the catalyst for it either, because or maybe I did. I mean, I got to look in my collections here, but the main one I was working on was Sunshot. And, you know, they took so long to get those catalysts with the faction rallies. You had to do a lot of stuff.
Right. And even over 3 faction rallies, I didn't even get it.
Yeah. Wasn't it Graviton Lance? Wasn't that the name of it?
Yes. I did look that up. It was Graviton Lance.
Yeah. So yeah, Graviton Lance would be cool to get. I hadn't gotten that one. I don't believe I have that one yet.
I guess nobody has ever really talked about it. I heard somebody else bring it up recently, is when are these catalysts going to come back? And they may never come back, because they were tied only to the faction rallies. So who knows if they're going to bring it back around.
I don't have the information in front of me, but I'm 99% sure. You know, I perused the little news clips that DMG or whoever writes on Reddit, or these little things, and you know, they'll be sourced into the great Shackle Shotgun website, where she kind of puts all these social media news bites together. And I remember reading at some point that they did say they have plans to bring it back, like serious plans. So that could be next season. It could be way later, but I do think they are planning on doing it somewhat soon, was what I seem to remember.
Gotcha. And we still need to run into the Spire Prestige. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to get it clear, but I understand that it can drop from any of the encounters. So it would be worth
a couple different characters for the first few encounters. You know, it really is only phase 2 of the boss that's horrible. So we could do, I think, just like Eater of Worlds, there's like the first encounter and then phase 1 of the boss. So we would have two chances. And then that third chance, probably not worth going through the hassle for that. Just go to another character and then do two chances again, and then another character, two chances again.
Right.
Although, do you not have a pass at all on Spyro Stars yet?
I don't. I got super close one time. I got to the second phase, I believe. That's the one, I guess, where you have to look up in the sky and figure out how the whatever mm-hmm. you need to do as far as shooting.
Yeah.
I got to that part and couldn't get a pass, but it was super late that night. Never went back in after with that yeah. group. And I can't remember if you were there or not. Have you ever gotten a pass on it?
I have. Some great guys in Hoot Dog that a lot of them are on PC now, but when they were on PS4, some names like Dirty Bird and Lars and I forget the other guy who's super hardcore writer.
Ferg.
Ferg actually had gotten, I think he and I, we were getting our first pass that night. We were kind of coming in almost as a carry.
You know, Lars, maybe?
Guys. Yeah, I had mentioned Lars, but there's another guy, I forget his name, but he's the one that has like the most raid kills if we look up in the, raid passes if we look up in the stats. But anyways, they had a spot open where I don't even know how it came up. I think they just heard that a few of us hadn't passed it yet. And they're like, oh, we'll take you through it. And they explained it really well. You know, you have the annoying part where you have to pass the
ball passing.
And they had it down to a pretty good science. I mean, I still think it's stupid. It's like, yeah, sure, you can find out a way to make it work well, but why put that in there? It's just stupid.
Right.
You get it down. It's like, seriously, that's part of the mechanic. And then going up into the sky and then opening the certain doors and everything, that's well enough, but it seemed so chaotic at the end where how you do damage on him, because you have to like, you're generally, a lot of us are standing behind him, and I'm just spitballing here. I could be saying some of these things wrong, but like there's like missiles coming down from the sky and adds everywhere and certain doors that you have to open, and then you have to wait for a buff and then do some damage and then wait for like another buff and do another type of damage. And it just seemed so chaotic to me. Like, even with how many raids I've done, it's like, wow, how did anyone figure this out?
It almost sounds like how Riven should be done. Because I know the actual way of Riven is a royal pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Not the cheese method that we normally do.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess you could even say like when people first find out about like Axis and Wrath the Machine, but really it's not that bad. If you can figure out how to slam and where he's going to go, there's only a few different areas you can go, and you know, especially when we do damage, we all kind of group up together. But I feel like we were doing things where, like, and he would do this stomp mechanic while you're damaging him too, and so like you had to kind of like move away at times, and so it was interesting. I'm certainly willing to try, but I would prefer like if we could even do a thing where again, like a couple of us go in with like a group that's done it a lot, almost like they're sherping us, and you know, I feel like that raid, more than any other raid, you kind of don't want to bring a group of six newbies in because you're just not going to get very far.
Right. Might have to LFG that one. People look into care.
Oh, I know. I think actually too, you know, all through Destiny 2, we had attempted going into the raids kind of like the first weekend they came out just to try them out, see how far we could get. And I think it was finally Spyro Stars were like, because that was one of the ones where they started making it a lot higher light requirements. So we barely got into the first encounter and we were dying a lot. And I don't remember if we passed the first encounter, but it was kind of the first raid where even I started getting frustrated, like, maybe we can't like do this. You know, I'm not like top tier group, so maybe we're not able to like even get halfway through the raid on our own with six newbies anymore. And I'm kind of like, I'm just going to step away from this raid for a while, increase my power level, and maybe jump in with a group that's done it. And then I can just learn that way.
Right. Yeah, we tried it. I do remember trying it once with Isacole.
Yeah, I remember that too. And I forget who else was in the group.
November. I believe November was there too.
Or even if I wasn't in that one, I remember watching it or something.
Man, I can't remember who else. But yeah, it was definitely rough, just trying to figure out and not knowing what to do. I don't know if I'll ever do a raid blind again. I'm not top tier like that, so I think I'm going to stick to learning the mechanics and then doing it after.
They used to be fun. On Wrath, we'd made it pretty far, and on Leviathan, we made it pretty far. But I just feel like Bungie's making it harder and harder with the power requirements. It's just kind of like this wall where we can't get in very far anymore.
Right. Now, after the raids, I know, again, I'm slacking on my Zer bounties, but you did the Zer bounty this week again, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I always like to keep up to date with that. Did the Zer bounty again, and much easier this week. There was some kind of minor complaints about last week's. You had to do it all on Mercury, and you had to get Hive for one of them. And as we know, on Mercury, the Hive are only in the Infinite Forest. Well, they're actually in one adventure also, the Up and Up adventure. So that's kind of the tip there if you haven't done that one yet. But still, it took a little bit longer because there was three enemy types and a strike to do. This time, there was only two enemy types and a strike to do. And I even forget the details, but let's just say this. I did like a couple strikes and I basically was done. And, you know, I won't spoil anything, but it's not quite as intense as like first week, not like full cutscene, but a little more interactive and involved than last week where there was really nothing.
Gotcha.
So they started high and they kind of been slowly going down. The one, ironically enough, for last week's, that was like one of the harder ones to do. There was like nothing. She talked for like 2 seconds and then it was done. This week there was kind of a fun, almost like a stop motion thing where you could see some movement.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think I was, it was just the other night when I finished. It was right after Zer came out this week and mine was the first one where with Marasov and you could see her head moving.
Oh yeah. That one was pretty cool.
So that was definitely more interesting. I like that one better than the giant nine lady halfway out of this weird water pool. I mean, to me, that was a little weird. This one definitely a little bit more interesting, a little bit more like a part of the story, part of the game.
Yeah. And as we've said before, hopefully something will be at the end of the tunnel for all of this. We only have three more, I believe, to get. 7, 8, and 9, I think. So this will be
fun. Yeah, I think there's maybe only a couple more left.
Yeah. So I will be right there on the last week's one to see if anything comes at the end. I really doubt it. I don't know what. I'm not expecting anything, but or even if I don't do it Friday during the day, I'm sure I'll do it that evening when I get on.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, Zer bounty was pretty good this week. Nothing too noticeable. Did Zer have any good loot? Nothing that I really needed.
Nothing that I saw there. I think I'm missing one warlock piece total and one hunter piece, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And he had, this week he had the Wardcliff Coil, which I think probably most people have.
Yeah.
Hollowfire Heart for Titan. Lunifaction Boots for Warlock, and the Raid on Flux for Hunter.
Yeah. So nothing that I really needed, but I'm still very happy that he's, for his Faded Ingrams, that he has the option of Year 2 stuff now. I really need to get my other characters going some more. I just don't have the time or desire, but we were kind of having a discussion in the Discord a little bit earlier today about armor sets. And it's getting me to want to run my Hunter a little bit more because I love the Hunter armor sets.
And then, I saw that.
Yeah. And I just don't love the Warlock ones. I mean, I've had some people say they like some here and there, but I've never really come across one that I just love. And I feel like I don't want to put too much time. The discussion, by the way, was about which armor sets have we masterworked, if we've done any yet, what mods we've put on them, you know, how we've been maxed them with stats. And like, I actually have enough enhancement cores now and stuff to do all that, but I don't want to go through the hassle because it seems like they come out with armor sets at least fairly often here and there with different events and the different seasons. That along with the fact that there hasn't been one that I really love how it looks, I just don't want to go through the hassle of doing that. I'm kind of still crossing my fingers waiting for a really cool armor set that I can then finally masterwork.
Right. I really like the armory black armory ones for Titan. I think there's something about the black and red that kind of appeals to me. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I've waited till now to masterwork them, and it's been a very slow going as far as the masterworking. I've gotten two pieces done and still need to do two more. But I'm really not sure how the best way to go about it is. If doing them all the same elemental type, or if spreading out the elemental type to give you the most wide range of protection. I haven't really read too much into that, and I don't know if you know much if that would be, if there's a preferred way to do that or not. I think when we were looking at him earlier, I think the one we did look at, the guy had all the same element masterworked on it, so it was like all void. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference either way if you're going to do it, or?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I would assume that, and I don't have a great answer myself, but I would assume that some guys, if they put enough work into it, they would have three different sets, right, for the different elements of that same armor piece. There's five pieces, so you could only do two, two, and one. I don't know. I think I would maybe then, and that just seems a little like scatterbrained to me, so maybe I would probably just do it all the same type.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe, my initial thought was spreading it out. I feel
like Solar's annoying, right? The fire and everything.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, I think my initial thought would be just spreading it out, but I mean, that's just me thinking about it. And, you know, for the most protection when you're going through a lot of these, so you don't have to switch your armor out so much, doing it multiple elements might be the best to give you the broadest protection, but you would be kind of like a little bit of everything and not, and still be squishier, not as powerful holding out in the one element. It's, I can imagine. Yeah. And I can imagine that it's probably more effective if you do one all the way through, so that way you get the most benefit out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about this more, I mean, you know, there are a few things I do with my armor. I always try to make sure my warlock has at least five resiliency, because, you know, the warlocks can, they have really good recovery as their base stat, but I feel like I don't need that as much. So I always want to bring my resilience up, especially like for the raids and whatnot. And so whenever I'm running armor, I try to look for that. And then, of course, when we go into the raids too, some of the common things that you're looking for is like rocket launcher reserves or grenade launcher reserves. So I'll tend to hold on to armor pieces like that. But other than those two things, I haven't done too much with the rest of my armor. And it's kind of sad because there's a lot of options there. I tend to forget, right? We're always like looking at weapons and maybe masterworking weapons we really like, but I forget that armor is this whole other world of things we can do.
Yeah, I think for me, the weapons are the main squeeze there versus dicking around with armor. Just my opinion. Take it or leave it.
Well, I'm excited to see what other armor there is, yep, in the future.
Now, have you gotten all of the Dreaming City pieces? I know they buffed the drop rate of three of the items recently to make them a little more obtainable. Had you had like the ship, the ghost shell, the sparrow? I think those were the main three that people had the most trouble with.
You'll have to look that up. I do believe like I have a lot of that. At first I thought you were just talking about armor. I'm like, yeah, I have all the armor, but yeah, I know they have bumped a lot of that up. Dreaming City stuff. Yeah, I'll have to see. What things are you going after?
I really need the ghost shell, the sparrow, the ship, I think are the three top items that they just recently buffed. I had everything else but those. Mm-hmm. And in order to go for Cursebreaker, you'd need them, along with the Ahamgar bones and, of course, the eggs that I haven't really played too much around. I was just curious, because I haven't played much of Dreaming City recently, if the buff or if the drop rates did really increase. A little bit that I have played Dreaming City, nothing's dropped. But we're talking from a really small chance to a not so small chance, but it still seems pretty small in the broad scheme of things.
I feel like they have. When I try to remember how many Last Wish raids I've done since the buffs they did in the patch, but when I was running it the other week on PC, I got a ton of different, I feel like ghost and sparrow drops and things like I'm not used to normally getting. So yeah, I look at my PS4 one here. I have everything except for the Starlight Shell ghost.
And one of those is from the raid where you need the key, correct? That's the ship then?
Maybe it's the ship, but I don't have the ship either. So I'm confused why I don't have some of these things. Do you happen to remember how many different unique things come from that glittering chest? I thought it was these three.
Thought it was only one, but I haven't had the glittering key drop at all out of all the less wish raids that I've actually completed.
Mm-hmm.
And I need the shell, the ship, and the sparrow.
Yeah, same here. Those are the three that I need.
And I have an unknown, but I think that one is the Nightfall, the Corrupted Nightfall.
Secret Victories?
No, it's the Corrupted Nightfall weapon, I think, is the one I don't yes. have.
Is it the Horror's Least?
Yes, that one yes. I do not have either.
I did get lucky to get that.
I can just see that being an Osprey all over again.
Probably, right? Yeah, I haven't been trying for
myself thinking about it.
I haven't been trying for Triumphs as much lately. I know a lot of people, there's been some chat about, you know, what Triumphs people are going for. I really hit Wayfarer hard, not at the very beginning. I probably could have hit it a couple weeks earlier. And then, but then when I did hit it, I hit it hard and I got it pretty early on still. There was just a couple like time-gated things I had to wait for. And then after that, like, I haven't really had a desire to go for too many more. Like, I know I'm fairly close to Dredgen, so I suppose I'll get that soon. I might as well. But I haven't really been caring about the these other ones. I mean, I was kind of looking at the Reckoner, but boy, there's a lot of just grinding there with armor sets. You have to get every single armor set and then run it a lot through Gambit. And Gambit's fine. I like it more than Crucible, but it's not still going to be like, I like it a lot more than Crucible, but I would still rather do Strikes, Raids, right. Verdant Forest, almost anything else than Gambit. Gambit's like in the lowest of my PvE list. So,
well, at least I got Dredgen, but the two.
Yeah.
you need to step up. You need to at least get Dredgen because you're probably right there and it's just a matter of the resets.
Pretty much it is, yeah.
Like you said, Reckoner, there is a lot of grind there. There's, and I'm pulling it up. Some of these are fairly easy with like the Reckoning and that, but it's the one where you have to do like the Triumph Collector, Triumphant Invader, mm-hmm. Reaper, getting your full sets of each. But once you get your sets, getting the sets is one thing, but then actually just doing the grind, because each grind I think has, I don't know, some of them are a little bit different. Like the Reaper has like 1,000 combatants on it. Sentry, you have to mark 40 invaders. And I think there's one other one, it wasn't the Reaper, but the invader, that one you have to get sniper and fusion kills, fusion and shotgun kills. Well, I'm sorry, linear fusion rifle kills and then fusion and shotgun kills. So you have to get different types of kills while invading, still win your matches, be able to drain motes. So there's quite a grind there. 1,000 motes deposited if you're the collector. So they do make you go through the motions and actually hustle, grind.
Yeah. You know, the raid one seemed very, I forget the name of it because I'm just looking on the app on my phone, but you know, the one where you have to do the Petra's run is like probably the hardest thing for that one.
That one's for Rivensbane?
Rivensbane, yeah. I actually think that's much more attainable these days. Now I've done Last Wish so many times. I feel like 90% confident I can get at least through the Riven encounter flawless. It's just the Queen's Walk I'm a little bit worried about.
Yeah, there's still, I don't know if you've done a lot of these, but there's ones where you have to do them with the same subclasses, like Arc subclasses. You have to do that's the challenges.
Kind of maybe it'd you have be to hard, do
one with all the same it. Guardians.
Void, Arc, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of like unique stuff there to keep you on your toes.
So that one's a possibility, and maybe the Dreaming City one is a possibility, although I haven't been keeping up again on all the bones and the eggs. I'll be running with people, and they're like, oh, there's this bone and egg. I'm like, ugh. For some reason, like, I didn't care about getting Wishender for the longest time, and so I got way behind on that.
Right. And I've been pretty lax with trying to keep up with the eggs and bones every week because there's a 6-week rotation.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you don't do it, you're basically waiting a long time, a month and a half if you miss it, mm-hmm. is what that equates to. Now, there was a rumor while we're on the topic of the Cursebreaker title. I think there was a rumor circulating that once enough people had Cursebreaker, that it would stop the curses completely in the Dreaming City. Do we know if that was ever confirmed?
I don't think it was ever confirmed, and that is an interesting rumor. So we'll just have to wait on that.
Looks like we all need to get Cursebreaker then.
I know. That's our next one. At this point, we are, what, about halfway through this season, and it's been a good season. I'm kind of almost now like looking forward to the next season because we're going to have a new raid. I'm sure some new title to chase after, a six-man match-made activity. I'm like really excited for this next season. I've had no complaints really this season, the last season. I mean, it's interesting how they're bringing all this out. Maybe I could get some suggestions for tweaking, but I'm really looking forward to next season. And hopefully there's some cool armor sets that I like. I just feel like next season could be huge for me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good season for sure. Season of Secrets, I think I heard somebody call it at one point. Just in general, it's going to have, I think, more
secrets. Oh, yeah, lots of secrets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's exciting. And I think at that point, for me, it's going to be a lot of multitasking. Stuff I didn't get done in these past couple seasons, like I've done in the past, just kind of double and triple up as much as possible. And I'll probably end up going back because you got Wayfarer first and it took me super long to get Wayfarer after that. So I'll probably end up just going back and trying to hit some of these triumphs that I need for other titles, I think, during this next season, while we're doubling and while we got other things to do. And I think that'll be a good use of time, basically.
And speaking of triumphs, I am kind of excited, maybe because this one sees more bite-sized, the revelry and the triumph that it, well, and if you do all the triumphs, you will get a pretty cool emblem. And all the triumphs, there's 11 or maybe 10 or maybe 9 because there's two little, you know, like title triumphs that say do 7 and it passes off something and then do 11 and it passes off something else.
Right.
Are you going for all those triumphs?
Yes. And I think you and I are probably fairly close to the same level, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, what do we have left to do?
The strikes.
I finished strikes, but you're probably getting close to that one.
I'm close. Strikes and raids. Unfortunately, they disabled the ones in the raids because of the Qatar errors, but strikes, super easy to get. Mm-hmm. The one for Gambit and Crucible. However, they disabled it in Gambit, so Crucible is really a slow grind for that. And then there's the one for the 50 bounties, and then you'll have all of them needed to complete it. But anybody can get one of the emblems right now through the Bungie Rewards program called the Answered Call. And yeah. I think it requires 150 kills in the Verdant Forest.
Log in. It's well worth getting. Log into your Bungie Rewards page and click the link, assuming you've gotten 150 kills, no big deal. And then they will email you something, and then you click that, and then it'll tie it to your account so that you can have it.
And I believe there is a little bit of delay even once you click on the reward code. I think it takes about 5 to 10 minutes to pop over, but I mean, I could be wrong. It took me about 5 or 10 minutes to find out where it was, probably because I didn't know what I was looking for.
Yeah, it seemed a little weird for me too, but I eventually got it figured out. You have to be serious about wanting it, Sen.
Yeah. If you're not serious enough, you won't find it.
So this is probably, though, the first time we're talking more about revelry from actually being in it. How do you like it so far? I guess that's mostly just the Verdant Forest that we can talk about.
Just the Verdant Forest. I'm a little frustrated. I think a lot of people are frustrated with the state of PvP, if you're a PvPer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know it's only for a short period of time. I get a lot of what people are saying, you know, it could have been done. They could have, especially those who are more into comp. I'm not. I'm more into like quick play or thing like that. The comp grind for me is just not enticing. So the grenade spam, I think the first night that I really noticed it, it was a bunch of hunters on the opposing team. And the amount of skip grenades, the hunters were just spamming skip grenades like two or three hunters back to back, just spamming them around a corner. And it's super frustrating because they're track you.
Yes.
And you basically have to run away from them so you don't die. The grenade spam for me in Crucible, a little annoying, a little frustrating. I believe Destiny Reset talked a little bit about this on the podcast they released today. Is Destiny a game of skill or gunplay, or is it a game of like your supers or weird space magic, basically? And right now with Revelry, it's just basically PvP is all on the space magic or abilities, as you would call it. That's not for me. I'd rather be in the gunplay if I'm going PvP.
Yeah, they were smart for having this event for 3 weeks. They really needed to for getting these triumphs and getting what you needed done, because there's been times where some events have only been for like a week or two and maybe someone's out of town or they don't have a lot of time to hop on and they get a little frustrated. They can't get certain things done. So that's good. But when you then have a problem, you have it for 3 weeks, because from what we've learned, from what they said, is some things can be fixed server side, but not a lot. It's just the way the game is coded right now. And I'm sure as they go forward, they learn their lessons and switch more of what can be server versus client based. But from what we found out, turning off the orbs was a server-based thing that they could do. So when we were getting guitar errors in Gambit in the raids, they turned that off. But the grenade spam is client-based. And we all know, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they can't, even if they could maybe put all their resources and test it, I don't even know if like the channels allow them to put out a patch that quickly, like PlayStation and Xbox and everything. So for whatever reason, they're not going to be able to get us a patch to that for the rest of the event. Now, they have mentioned in one social media post that they're still looking into things. They might be able to do some server or hotfix thing. They said the most likely thing they could do for the people that are having a hard time getting the 200 kills in Crucible, because before it was in theory going to be Gambit also. So I think what I read is maybe they would lower that to 100 or some other number. And they said, though, even don't count on that. Just they're looking into it right now. Right. So we'll see what they can do. Yeah,
that would be a big hope they do, because the Crucible for that, not the easiest time.
I, in a way, again, since I don't care that much about Crucible and quick play, it's like 3 weeks is pushing it even for quick play, but at least we know it's just 3 weeks and quick play, whatever. But even though I don't care about comp and I never hop in it, I don't want it in comp. I feel bad for the guys that are pissed about that it's in comp. So you would think, I was listening to another podcast, Massive Breakdown's a great podcast, and you would think it would have been obvious, like how silly were they to like, why would they put it in comp? Why would they allow it to be in comp? It's just like, no one would have thought that'd be a good idea.
I mean, that would be right. That would be the one that I would think you would leave it out of, because that's meant to be a competitive play, not something where you're going to be doing the cheesy ability spam all the time. And that's right now the state of it. It's a cheesy ability spam. Grenades. It's mayhem, but all the time in quick play right now.
Yeah. Well, I still need to go back in with my Arc subclass Warlock, the pulse grenade with the chain lightning web, and see how that annoys people one of these days. The funny thing is like, I don't even really have time to do that because I kind of want to work on my precision kills. So it's like, do I try to get my precision kills or just be annoying and throw grenades? So at least I'm not trying to be annoying and throw grenades, but one of these nights I got to do it just for fun.
Do it.
But we'll be on the same team soon, so I won't annoy you. Just annoy the other side.
Right. And I actually have not, now that I think about it, as much as I've gotten killed with the cheesy ability spam, I don't think I've turned it on while being in Crucible.
Yeah, at first glance, I wouldn't do that because it kind of seems like a crappy thing to do. But at the same time, if it's happening everywhere, it's well worth trying once. No one can blame you for trying it, you know?
Right.
I got to try it and see what it's like. Well, Revelry's good, but that's crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, other than that, I think that probably wrapped up our week.
Pretty much did, yeah. Revelry, let's talk really quick, though, about the Verdant Forest. Do you like it enough?
Yeah, I think we got away from that conversation.
Than Haunted Forest, what do you think of it in general?
See, I didn't play much of the Haunted Forest from what I remember. I played it a little bit, but never really grinded it out. What was the weapon that we got from the Haunted Forest?
The horror story. It was like the origin story, but just like the Haunted Forest version.
You know, I think I never got that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there was no reason really to run it because there was better auto rifles by the time. It was just a 600 drop, I believe, or a 500 or 400. I don't remember what it was at the time.
It was max level at the time.
It was max level. That. Yeah, so that was the main thing. But the perks, it was like Tiger Spite or Breakneck. I don't know if it was out yet, but other weapons were going to be better. But I did get it, and it was kind of had a fun look to it. But for me, well, actually, I prefer the darkness of the haunted forest. That was kind of fun, like nighttime spooky. You also have the knights kind of walking around with the axes. That was great. But overall, I think I like Verdant Forest a little bit better. I'm already starting to get a little bored of it, as expected. But
right. It's the same thing over and over, and there's really no variety.
Yeah, at least you get a little bit of variety of like, okay, which way am I going to have to turn the corner now? That's basically it. But right. I don't mind that so much because then I have to, because when you're wanting to go really fast and you're killing ads and you have to do it fast to stay efficient, then the environment getting in your way is kind of fun because then I'd be like, oh, I got to jump this way really quick versus jumping that way. And you really don't know until you see it kind of beam in. So I don't know. It's just a small, silly thing. But for me, I kind of like that. And then we're kind of chasing to get the chest in time. And like, is it worth getting the chest? Like sometimes only like two of us will. And then the other person will run right to the plate. It was fun just coming up with a pattern of how we could just get through it quickly and chain our supers. And in a way, it's just a good activity to space out. I still don't mind. I've always kind of liked doing that in a group, like just running brainless strikes or running something like this and just spacing out and talking crap, you know, just talking about how our day was or whatever.
It's relaxing.
Yeah, it's relaxing. Nothing, it's nothing special. Crap. It's nothing that hard. I mean, at first it seemed a little bit hard to me, but I was like, just because stupid blueberries or whatever couldn't figure things out. So I'm like, okay. I was like, we're trying everything and the time keeps going down. But now we pretty much know you can get anywhere from like 15 to 20 clears and easily pass all five bosses if you can work together well as a team. And I don't know. It's just a good way to get your materials and whatnot also. So I don't know how much more I'll be popping. Yeah, your essence, all that stuff. I don't know how much more I'll be popping it, but I probably will be here and there. And I don't hate it by any means. I like, you know, that it can go on. I just wish there was maybe some more bosses in between, like mini bosses, like harder ones.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Ads. And I think there's, you know, I think at some point we compared it maybe to a somewhere along the lines, the Diablo version. Yes, the Rifts. But with Diablo and the Rifts, they gave you a lot more loot, and there was a lot more, like you would get your set pieces, your set armor and set weapons, and then you'd also get your legendaries through those activities, and you can increase a level and do them increasingly harder and harder. You get five chests when you clear all five bosses on this, but it doesn't seem like you get a whole lot.
No, other than the essence, yeah.
The essence, you do get, it's a random drop, you do get one of the emblems from it, and you do get armor pieces that do drop from it. But outside of that, I haven't seen much drop, but I've actually played the Verdant Forest more than I ever did the other event, the one with the Haunted Forest. So I can say that I've definitely been more engaged on this event than I was in that prior one.
Well, this will have to be another topic we have in the future. You know, chest drops in general for D2 have been horrible. Like, they're never really worth it. Even when we're trying to run the Nightfall for those special rewards, they're so far and few in between. And then for running strikes, I mean, in D1, we had the chance of the skeleton keys and good loot here and there. But like, why do we always just care about blue armor or occasional legendaries that aren't really any better in Glimmer? Like, I guess I can see the problem if they don't have enough loot, good loot, then if they put it too quickly in the chest, then we'll get it too quickly. But they need to come up with a better system because these chests and strikes and everything is just never really worth it. We're always just going to the postmaster and dismantle. And
right.
It'd be nice to not have to worry about that.
Melt it all. It's good for materials.
Yeah. We'll see what they can do with that in the future. Hopefully something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good week. We had fun. We're looking forward to, you know, what we have coming up in the future, and have some great guests lined up. So
we really were excited about that. Nice one tonight. But, I think he had some other plans.
We have some great guests. So you'll just knock your socks off. All right. Well, should we get out of here?
I think so.
Excellent.
I think we kept it pretty solid.
Yep.
We'll make sure we get the guest who is supposed to be on tonight a hard time.
No, that's okay.
We got to give him a little bit of a hard time.
A little bit of a hard time. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, can you tell the lovely listeners your contact info if you do desire, Sin?
You can call me at 8675309, area code 888. And you can find me on Twitter, Sin_media, and Twitch at Sin Media. Sin is C-Y-N. And as words from JC Jesse for Twitter, don't forget the underscore.
Yeah, don't forget. Or who knows what you will get. You won't get Sin, though.
It'll be a blank account that I can't get.
Yep. Well, my Twitter is not exactly my name either. On PlayStation, I am Kingsley Mac, but on Twitter, I am MC Kingsley. So follow me that way. On Twitch, I'm also Kingsley Mac. And our show, The Guardian Hub, our website is theguardianhub.com, and you can find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub, and we also have a Discord. So please follow us on all the places.
Or just Discord, because that's the coolest.
Just follow us on Discord, and you can figure out everything else that way. And our podcast can be found everywhere you listen to podcasts. So with that being said, it was a pleasure talking to you tonight, Sin.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine.
And we will talk to you all later. Everyone have a great week. Goodbye.
Or don't have a good week. And still goodbye.
Yes, have a good week.